Let us read from the Gospel of John, chapter 3, from verse 31. John, chapter 3, from verse 31. He that cometh from above is above all. He that is of the earth is earthly, and speaketh of the earth. He that cometh from heaven is above all. And what he has seen and heard, that he testifieth, and no man receiveth his testimony. He that has received his testimony has set to his seal that God is true. For he whom God has sent speaketh the words of God. For God giveth not the Spirit by measure unto him. The Father loveth the Son, and has given all things into his hand. He that believeth on the Son has everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. Let us stand up for prayer. Heavenly Father, we ask you from the bottom of our heart for your grace and for your blessing. Lord, be thou in our midst today. Speak through your word and through your spirit. Save, deliver, heal, comfort, bind up all wounded hearts. O Lord, our God, may on this day your grace become great anew. Lord, may faith come through your word into our hearts. Dear Savior, we place this gathering very consciously under the leading of your Holy Spirit. We ask you, faithful Lord, let us all be under the blood of the Lamb, so that the enemy would have to pass us by without being able to harm us. Lord, be today in our midst. Glorify thy name. Confirm thy word. Reveal unto us the mysteries of your word and of your will. Give grace that it becomes for all of us an extraordinary service. Make us still, very still, in your presence. Take all own thoughts and plans, all own imaginations and intentions out from our hearts and thoughts. Place us into your eternal plan by your grace. Remove the veil before our eyes and anoint us with an holy divine anointing, so that we, by your Spirit, recognize your word and your will. Faithful Lord, we remember now all them who are sick. O our God, our earthly life is so fragile, but we thank you that we have an eternal treasure in this earthly tabernacle, that we have been born again unto a living hope, and that we will see you being forever with you. Receive us all. You know the various petitions, the prayers, the requests, the troubles. Doesn't matter where they are and of which kind they might be. Also among those who will hear this sermon, beloved Savior, join us in your Spirit, in your presence. We feel that you are nigh to us. Lord, we seek and find the rest and the connection in you and to you. Bless us now from the riches of your grace. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You may be seated. From the bottom of my heart, I would like to welcome all of you in the precious name of the Lord. Are today some for the first time here? Then I would like to ask that you perhaps raise your hand. Are there some today for the first time in our midst? Please raise your hand. Yes? Here in the front? There? Somebody else? Be welcome. May God bless you in our midst. We are so grateful that we don't have to present any earthly program, but that we may let ourselves be placed by the Spirit of God and by the Word of God into that what God intended for us. Yes, what He determined for us in this time and then also for eternity. I'm always sorry when I hear of brothers and sisters who are going through trials, who suddenly are in hospital, who have to undergo a certain surgery. And I think here on our beloved brother Ernst Furrer from Vila, whom we all knew throughout the years as a very healthy brother. Suddenly, something comes with what he and we didn't count with. And so one hears here and there how the earthly tabernacle, this mortal body, has to endure some trials. When we get a bit older, we notice it. But what kind of comfort is in our hearts when we have put off this earthly tabernacle? Then we have a building which was built by God, a body in which one can never get sick again. Usually, I don't listen to folk songs, but sometimes when I listen to the news, then the one or the other is played, and I kept it in mind. Somebody has sung, "I want to be again 20. And there the thought came to me, look, the unbelieving people want to once again be transferred into the blooming of their youth. I had to straight away think about it. This kind gentleman who has sung it, he doesn't want to be 10 years old or 3 years or 40. He wants to start all over again. And then with the wisdom, with the experience of life which he has now. And just imagine, we as believers, we know that someday we will be in the blooming of our youth, standing before our Lord. The unbelievers just sing of it, and we may have it in our hearts as a certainty. So when Paul writes to the Corinthians, even this earthly body decreases, yet our spiritual and inner man is strengthened day by day. You all know, then we think straight away on beloved brothers and sisters who went before us. And then the longing gets stronger and stronger. Lord, come soon. Make an end to this earthly life, which is no more nice, and take us home into your glory. Don't you worry. For us as believers, the condition on earth will have to become unbearable, so that we can cry out with all our hearts, come soon, Lord Jesus. As long as it is well with us and everything is running smooth as we like it, then we still feel somehow at home on earth. But here is not our home. My home is above, sings a hymn writer. And this we believe, because God's word testifies of it. Today, we want to deepen ourselves into the Word of God. And I would like to base this sermon on the words, the testimony of God. And I hope that these three words are not just a sentence, but that they will mean more for us at the end of this word observation. God has left a testimony here on earth. I would like to read some scriptures to it. Don't forget this thought, the testimony of God. Not what people say, but what God has said, what he has spoken, and what his servants testified of, and what they passed on. Here, in the Gospel of John, we have read, he that cometh from above is above all. He that is of the earth is earthly, and speaketh of the earth. He that cometh from heaven is above all. And what he has seen and heard, that he testifieth. And no man receiveth his testimony. He that has received his testimony has set to his seal that God is true. Beloved, this is a very important statement. The natural man resists the testimony of God, to the program of God, to the Word of God, to the testimony of God, to the Spirit of God. The natural man cannot receive what comes from God. But when the hour of God has come for us, that we comprehend it, that God speaks with us, and that we receive this testimony with all our heart and believe it, then we have from our side acknowledged God in his truthfulness and received the testimony which he has given. For he whom God has sent speaketh the words of God. Many times we have emphasized it when we read in the Gospel of John about John the Baptist. Then it says, a man sent from God. There were many men who taught the word without understanding themselves. What happened then? And today, I remember a thought from a conversation when the heathen wise men came to Jerusalem and asked, where is the newborn king of the Jews? Those who knew the scriptures, they could read, and they found out it must be in Bethlehem. But they themselves, although they read the word and could instruct the foreigners who came from the east, they didn't care at all. They remained sitting there. Although they could instruct others to whom the light flashed, to them the star of Jacob raised, to them they could give the divine answer from the word of God. And these men went on their way, but the counselors who informed them, they remained there sitting where they were before. How many preachers have in this prophetic age read the scriptures and they remain sitting and they don't go there where God's word is being fulfilled? And therefore, we can be grateful that the Lord has helped us in this way. From the Gospel of John, chapter 5, I would like to read from verse 36. But I have greater witness than that of John. For the works which the Father has given me to finish, the same works that I do bear witness of me, that the Father has sent me. And the Father himself, who has sent me, has borne witness of me. Ye have neither heard his voice at any time, nor seen his shape, and ye have not his word abiding in you. For whom he has sent, him ye believe not. Search the scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. And yet ye will not come to me, that ye might have life. They searched in the Holy Scripture. They knew what God's word said. And nevertheless, the Lord had to tell them that their searching remained fruitless because they did not recognize the day and the hour of God's visitation and had no revelation about the fulfillment of the word of prophecy in their time. Of what use are then the wonderful services? What is the purpose of the most wonderful preaching if God cannot bear witness speaking with us, namely, that we are brought up to date spiritually in the kingdom of God? You all know that in the course of church history, in the course of the New Testament church, there were many movements. The last movement is the Pentecostal movement. And there Brother Branham said very clearly, the growth, the spiritual growth, starts in the body of Jesus from the feet up until the body of the Lord is perfectly there. Brother Branham compared the Pentecostal movement with the mouth, with the lips. It was prophesied, it was spoken in other tongues, it was interpreted, it was evangelized, but the last is the prophecy, the eye, the prophetic view in the prophetic age for the things which according to divine prophecy find now their fulfillment. Hence it is also explained why you never saw Brother Branham speaking in tongues or interpreting or operating of gifts as it was common in the Pentecostal movement. His ministry was the transition from the last Pentecostal revival up into the prophetic age, so that the Church of the Living God in these last days gets the view to that what shall now happen at the end of time. And beloved, this I don't say to keep it for my credit, but I was baptized in the Spirit in the year 1949 in a gathering in Hamburg. But I have never operated the gifts of the Spirit from the platform. Not a single time. And I didn't know this in all the past years. Today, I look back and I find out that my task was not to continue in a Pentecostal way. My task is therein to bring the word of prophecy to the church. Because who is today not part of the charismatic movement? Today, everywhere is movement. But where is the word of the Lord? Where is the clear prophetic view for the events in the plan of salvation which must happen in the kingdom of God? Of course, one can make an impression among the audience. If one comes to the front and would bring mighty things in the form of a prophecy, but God kept me until this hour from it, and He will do it until the end. A servant of God is not here to impress people of himself. A servant of God is here to pass on the word of God in truthfulness and faithfulness in the way as he received it. And here we think on the word of Paul. The time will come, prophecies will cease, the knowledge and everything what is patchwork, when the perfect has come. And we may say out of conviction, thanks be to the Lord for all the working of the Spirit, for all the fruits of the Spirit, for all the gifts of the Spirit. But thanks be to Him for the perfect revelation of His unmistakable word in this time. Heaven and earth shall pass away. Everything else will cease. But the word of God remains forever. And to this word I feel obligated. This was the task. I will send you from city to city to preach my word. The Lord will have at the end not people who fool each other, but people who are true in their heart towards themselves and towards others, and also towards God. The testimony of God, this is what matters in these days. Not about that, what people have said, but about that, what God has said. You search the scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life. And they are they which testify of me. The testimony of God, established on earth through the mouth of all his holy servants and prophets. There is nothing which would be as certain as the word of God. An experience, what somebody sees or hears, this must be tested. It can be right, but it doesn't have to be right. But that, what is written in the word of God, this doesn't need to be tested anymore. This is always correct. God's word is purified 7 times. That's how it is written in Psalms. And it is the absolute and pure truth. In Revelation, in chapter 1, we read the first three verses. Revelation chapter 1 from verse 1. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him, to shew unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass. And he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John, who bear record of the word of God and of the testimony of Jesus Christ and of all things that he saw. Here we have the confirmation, God's testimony on earth. John was banned to the Isle of Patmos for the sake of the word of God, so that the last testimony of God could be recorded here on this earth. Here it also speaks of that, not only of the word of God, but of the testimony of Jesus Christ. With this, we go to Revelation chapter 19. Keep in mind the thought, the testimony of Jesus. Revelation chapter 19 from verse 9. And he says unto me, write, blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he says unto me, these are the true sayings of God. And I fell at his feet to worship him. And he said unto me, see thou, do it not. I am thy fellow servant and of thy brethren that have the testimony of Jesus. Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. Who can grasp the importance of such a word? The testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. God let everything be determined beforehand by prophecy, by speaking through the old prophets. It has become a part of the word of God. He who receives the testimony of God, he has the testimony of Jesus Christ. He who has the testimony of Jesus Christ, he has the spirit of prophecy. And he who has the spirit of prophecy, he has access to that what was written down in the word of God for our days by the prophecies. And here the one does not need to teach the other. They all shall be taught by God. The testimony of God, the testimony of Jesus Christ, the spirit of prophecy, everything belongs together. Because we live in this last, in this prophetic age, let us read from Revelation 22, verse 16. I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David, and the bright and morning star. Here, our Lord speaks, our Redeemer. I have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. Not in the world, not in the denominations, not in political groups, but in the church of the living God. Hence the symbol of the sevenfold candlestick and Christ as the Son of Man walking in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. Out of his mouth, that's how we can read it in Revelation 1, goes forth a two-edged sword. And then it always says, he that has an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit says unto the churches. Many preached about Christ. Many preached about the Word of God. But who in these days could hear and wanted to hear what he has spoken and what he revealed? How many are also now searching the Holy Scripture? They see everywhere is being fulfilled Bible prophecy on Israel, on the nations, perplexity, desperation, unrest of all kinds, that it slowly becomes uncomfortable on earth. All these people, they can put their finger on it and say, this is the fulfillment of Scripture, and this is also fulfillment. But who recognized that part that is determined for the church? One has to be a member on the body of Jesus Christ and be part of the church of the firstborn. If one can receive that, what the Spirit says unto the churches in this time, all the others, they will see the fulfillment of Scripture in all the world, but not in the church. And what good would it be for us if we see everywhere the fulfillment of Scripture and would register it, if we could not understand that God in this prophetic age has sent a prophet to bring the word of prophecy to the light, which shines as a bright light in a dark place. This they bypass. They can give information about, as I said, Israel and all the world, but they are blind in regards to that, what God has promised to the New Testament church for this time. And beloved, here is the vast difference. Our hearts should be grateful that we in these days have believed the testimony of God, the testimony of Jesus Christ, and that by it the Spirit of prophecy, who has given all of the word of prophecy from the ancient times, but now by the last message, it was revealed, it came to the surface, so that we all can see it and believe it. We want to read on from the Epistle of John, 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5 from verse 5. Who is he that overcometh the world but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? This is he that came by water and blood, even Jesus Christ, not by water only, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit that beareth witness, because the Spirit is truth. For there are three that bear witness: the Spirit, the water, and the blood. And these three agree in one. If we receive the testimony of men, the testimony of God is greater. For this is the testimony of God, which he has testified of his Son. He that believeth on the Son of God has the testimony in himself. He that believeth not God has made him a liar, because he believeth not the testimony that God gave of his Son. And this is the testimony, that God has given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He that has the Son has life, and he that has not the Son of God has not life. What a fullness of thoughts is here in this scripture. Firstly, we don't testify, but here we are told there are three that bear witness: the Spirit, word or water, and blood. Not what we say about the word, but what the word of God says itself is the standard. How many people have their own interpretations, given it to the word of God, adding them, and therefore the word can no longer speak, but the people bring their own interpretations. Children of God, listen this afternoon very carefully. God has placed a threefold testimony into his church. This is therein that the blood of Jesus Christ bears true witness of your and my redemption, of your and my forgiveness, of your and my healing. And we believe this divine testimony of the blood of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, through which we were redeemed. Point one. Point two, the water, washed by the washing of the word. The word of God bears witness in the church of God. No man can speak there but God alone, whose words are spirit and life. There are three that bear witness: the Spirit, the water, and the blood. Have we not experienced this in these days in such a wonderful way? Has not the Spirit of God come upon Brother Branham in the same way as he came upon the prophets? Has he not seen in visions the things, the divine anointing of the Spirit rested upon him? He could have referred also this scripture, which applied to our Lord, Luke 4, Isaiah 61. The Spirit of the Lord God rests upon me. John, who was on the Isle of Patmos, was taken up in the Spirit to see all these things from above. In the same way, the Spirit of God came upon Brother Branham to reveal all these things in these last days. There are three that bear witness: the Spirit, the Word, and the Blood. In the last days, a restored church will come forth under the blood of the Lamb, under the leading of the Holy Spirit, being grounded in the Word of God. A bride which can be presented to the bridegroom in a worthy way. For this, I'm grateful. When this thought touched me, I became happy in my heart. What good would it be to all of us if we would have lots of emotions and could come up with many things in our midst, if the divine testimony of the blood of Jesus Christ, which speaks for us, would not have been established in us? If not the Word of God, which is Spirit and life, would have become a divine testimony for you and for me, and would have received the testimony of Jesus, namely the Spirit of prophecy, and then would also see it at work. If the Spirit of God would not lead us in this time into all the truth, beloved, there are still some things that will have to be said to us in the near future, so that we can expose the disguised schemes of Satan that take place in a pious garment, so that we can serve our Lord totally delivered. The thought follows me, which Moses spoke out at that time: let my people go. The hour of God has come near. Here it says, there are three that bear witness: the Spirit, for the Spirit is the truth, and the blood of a truth was shed for our redemption and forgiveness. Already in the Old Testament, the Lord God said to Moses, when I see the blood, then I will pass over you, and the destruction angel will not cause any damage. The Lord has a blood-bought multitude, a church which is led into all the truth by the Spirit, which does not depend on the many testimonies of men who toss us to and fro. Today we believe this, tomorrow that. No, we come to a rest in God and let ourselves be led into all truth. And we notice how the Spirit of God in such a loving way works in all of us. In 2 Peter, in chapter 1, we read verse 16 to 18. For we have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For he received from God the Father honor and glory when there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And this voice which came from heaven we heard. This voice which came from heaven we heard when we were with him in the holy mount. Also, this was a wonderful event. I had to think about it, that the Lord had men or people who were present when he did something. And these testified of that, what they have seen and what they have heard. Beloved, if we receive this divine testimony which they left unto us in the name of the Lord, then we have the same certainty as if we would have been on the holy mount. I was not there with Peter, John, and James, but one thing I may tell you, I can really place myself into it, into this mighty event. They are there. The cloud of glory comes down. They are veiled in into this supernatural presence of God. And suddenly, the voice of God sounds. How they might have trembled. I was not there, but I believe it. It wasn't just for them. It happened for you and for me. He who believes God believes everything what is written in the Word of God. We can not pick what we believe and what we don't believe. We believe God, for he has established his testimony here on earth. We also were not present when John, the forerunner of the Lord, saw the Spirit of God descending in the shape of a dove. But we believe what he has seen. We believe what he testified. How wonderful that among all the servants of God, the truthfulness was in their heart, in their mouth, and that the divine inspiration of the Spirit rested upon them. We were eyewitnesses. Today, we are ear witnesses of that what God has left unto us in his word. In Hebrews chapter 11, we read from verse 2. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. Mainly, it's about verse 2. For by it the elders obtained a good testimony of God. Not only that God has given testimony, which somehow would have vanished. No, God has people on earth who have heard what he said and what he testified of. They believed it and they received it, and by it they confirmed it, that God truly has spoken to them. Beloved, be honest. We were, of course, not present when God spoke through the prophets and apostles. And nevertheless, everything is so alive, so present. It moves before us. We are in the midst of the kingdom of God, not as spectators, not as critics, not as observers, but as partakers, as people with whom and through whom and on whom God in these days has done great things. Hallelujah. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. My heart burns when I think about all these things, and also about that God's word has been kept for us. I still remember the days where one has said with a plain mouth that the Bible will soon disappear in the dustbin. Many disappeared who wanted to get rid of it. They have been eliminated. But God's word remains forever. And if we receive this word of God in us, then we confirm toward God that he is true and that he has spoken to us. And this makes us happy despite of all trouble, despite of all sorrow. When it goes up, then it goes also down. Yet the word of God we carry sealed in our hearts. Blessed be the name of the Lord. So, having such a faith, the elders obtained the testimony from God. Precious heart, also you and I, we shall possess this faith which counts before God. The faith in his word determined for this time. Only this is a living faith. Everything else is a faith in the past, and of this nobody can be saved. It continues, verse 4. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous. God testifying of his gifts. What was it? Abel did not just give a sacrifice and said, "All right, dear God, everything is nice." God answered. God testified. Precious heart, we don't have to fear to come into the presence of God. For us, a sacrificial lamb was killed. In Hebrews 10, we read a very wonderful word. Hebrews 10, from verse 11. Here it says, "And every priest standeth daily ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins." Dieser dagegen But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God. From henceforth, expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. For by one offering he has perfected forever them that are sanctified. Whereof the Holy Ghost also is a witness to us. For after that he had said before, "This is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their hearts, and in their minds will I write them, and their sins and iniquities will I remember no more." Now, where remission of these is, there is no more offering for sin. What a wonderful word! Not you and not I, but the Holy Ghost bears witness unto us. Has not Paul written to the Romans, "His Spirit beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God"? Precious heart, believe today the testimony of God, so that the testimony of God, which has become divine reality by the Spirit, also in your life and in my life, becomes divine reality. Not as with people, one day believers, then unbelievers, one day saved, then lost. No. The anchor reaches behind the veil. And what was behind the veil? The mercy seat with the Ark of the Covenant. There was the glory of God. There not a priest spoke. There God gave the answer. Dear heart, today God gives you the answer through His Word, through His Spirit, and says, "Everything took place. I have given the testimony." Don't lay it aside, but receive it. If we accept the testimony of God, it becomes a divine reality in our lives. Also this we read, "He who does not believe God made him a liar." Precious heart, believe what God says. "I redeemed you. I have called you by thy name. You are mine." Believe what God said. "And though your sins be red as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow." Believe in every situation, under all circumstances, at every time, what God has said in His Word. Unbelief is the worst that could happen to us. After we have heard the words of God, which are spirit and life, in such a clear way, the testimony of God, the testimony of Jesus Christ, the Spirit is the truth, and the Spirit bears witness to all them who believe the word of God and seals it in the heart of the disciples of Jesus Christ. Men of God have the testimony of God and passed it on. John bore witness of the word of God and of the testimony of Jesus Christ. Today is our day. Today is our time, a time which never was before. But although on one hand very terrible, on the other hand the most wonderful time in which people who believe God and who belong to Him could live on earth. And if we could ask today an Abraham or a Daniel or whoever we could ask, they would say, I would have liked to live at that time, to hear all that and to see it, what God is doing in our days. Don't believe any man. Believe God. Believe the testimony which He left unto us. Receive the word of God by faith, and they will to each one of us become a spirit-worked divine reality. Now just the emphasis to this thought, whereof the Holy Ghost also is a witness to us. For after that he had said before, this is the covenant that I will make with them after those days. How wonderful! God made a covenant with us. Gather ye my people, with whom I made the covenant by sacrifice. Precious heart, we were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver or gold, but with the precious blood of the Lamb. The Spirit, the Word, and the blood, they bear witness among the people of God. Believe what God has said in His Word. He says, and their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. For where remission of these is, there is no more offering for sin necessary. May we today have an hour of divine consecration and say, faithful God, I want to have your testimony as a living reality in my heart. I believe you. I believe what you have said unto us. I am under the blood of reconciliation, in the Word of God, under the leading of the Holy Spirit. This belongs together. Many say they believe in the forgiveness, but they don't believe God's Word. They don't receive the testimony of the Word. There are three that bear witness, and these agree in one. They belong together, the Spirit, the Word, and the blood. A church redeemed by the blood, being settled in the Word of God, being washed by the water of the Word, cleansed by the blood, sealed with the Holy Ghost unto the day of our glorious translation when the Lord, who loved us so much, will return in the clouds of heaven to take us home. Believe it today. It is for you. It is for me. It is for all of us. Get happy. Thank the Lord that He gave us this privilege in these days to believe according to the Scripture, to receive every word of God, to say yes to the covenant with God, into the covenant by the blood, into the new covenant with God. And He gives us a new heart and a new spirit so that we can serve Him with sincerity and honesty. The testimony of God here on earth, in you and in me, among us and through us, it shall be confirmed and manifested. Blessed and praised be the name of the Lord. Amen. Let us stand up and pray. Perhaps we sing firstly the chorus, "Just as I am." As our heads are bowed, closing our eyes, opening the hearts, we want to look up to the Lord, asking ourselves whether we believed the testimony of God in these days with all our hearts, fully. Should some be still amongst us who have not yet dedicated their lives to God? Precious heart, the Lord calls you today. Come, full salvation, forgiveness, grace, eternal life through faith in Jesus Christ, the Son of God. As the heads are bowed and the eyes are closed, I would like to ask whether somebody has the courage to raise briefly his hand that we shall pray for you. Is somebody here who likes that we pray? God bless you. Lord our God, what shall we say to you? We are deeply impressed about the friendliness with which you speak to all of us, about the manifold thoughts of your word. How wonderful is your testimony, or are your testimonies, which you established from Abel on this earth, with them who believed you. Lord, we were not present on the Mount of Transfiguration. We were not at the River Jordan. We didn't walk with you to Bethania when you were taken up into heaven. but we will be part of it. When you will return to fetch your own, for the trump of God shall sound, the voice of the archangel shall sound, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. And then we, who we are alive and remain together with them, we shall meet you, our Lord, in the air. We thank you for it. Now we may also be part of it. While you, in the last church age, bring everything to its completion. Thank you for it. Give us at all times a believing heart. We want to confirm from our side that we believe that you are true, and we are in the true one, in his Son, Jesus Christ. And this is the true God and eternal life. Lord, your plan of salvation is before us, open. I thank you for it. Faithful God, there was never such a time. The spirit of prophecy, the testimony of Jesus is amidst your people, leading into your word and into your will. Dear Lord, you have seen the raised hands. We remember all who are in trouble. You know what they need. But even more, all our precious brothers and sisters who cannot be here today. Some are in hospitals. Others are at home sick. Lord, we want that all the next time are again here. Lord, touch them. Heal them. Power still goes forth from you. Also in our midst, let no one leave here sick. Not one shall leave here being not saved. Save and heal. Deliver. O God, I feel that you, in a fatherly, in a loving way, speak to us. Before us is your plan, fully unveiled. Thank you for it. Praise, honor, and glory and worship. I thank you for all my brothers and for all my sisters who received your testimony, the testimony of God, through the Spirit, through the Word, and through the blood. Everything what you testified of, we receive, we accept, and we believe it with all our hearts and with all our souls. This the whole world can hear. Lord, thank you for everything in the precious and holy name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen.
Sein Blut, es wusch mich rein. Oh, es ist Jesus. Sein Blut, es wusch mich rein. Amen.
Amen.